I'll catch this bird for you, but it ain't going to be easy.
This is AC Primetime Radio.
It's the Fish Jersey Shore podcast for the week of April 7th, 2017.
If you want to fish, you come to New Jersey. It is the second largest industry in the state.
That'll bring back the tourists. That'll put all your businesses on a paying basis. You want to stay alive and ante up? You want to play cheap? Be on welfare the whole winter.
It's time to reimagine.
But we have 1,800 miles of coastline in New Jersey.
Redevelop, reinvest.
There is nothing more important in this entire world than the New Jersey flounder.
Make sure you tell your friends about FishJerseyShore.com. Sign up for our email newsletter, keeping you up to date on what's going on in the fishing world along the South Jersey Shore, especially how South Jersey party boats and businesses, anybody that deals with fishing and outdoor fun along the South Jersey Shore, we're under attack. We are under attack by inaccurate and inappropriate and unneeded regulation. Please join our newsletter, share this podcast, join the coalition, FishJerseyShore.com. We need your support to protect recreational fishing here in Atlantic City, Ventnor, Margate, all along the South Jersey Shore. I mean, what we're doing, we're scaring away fishermen, especially the new kids coming up, scaring away fishermen and families to southern states like Delaware, where they have more appropriate rules, measured rules. Jeanette's Pier in Outer Banks, people are going there. They're not thinking of South Jersey for a fishing holiday, huh? Down there, they have more measured, more appropriate, more accurate accounting of the fishing stocks. So they make the rules the right way, and it's a win-win for everybody. We're scaring away people to the southern states, and some of our fishermen who used to come here all the time are going inland for freshwater fishing. Well, the great Shep on Fishing radio show was on Saturday morning on WOND radio. Another great news. Well, it's a mixture of good news, bad news kind of a show. The good news, a lot of fish out there. Springtime fishing starting to heat up. Tog season is underway. Sea bass coming along. Striper almost there. No blues yet, but you'll see. The bad news, though, is regulations about flounder is hanging heavy over our heads. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to learn more about that stuff. And there is still way too much focus on real estate and casinos down here. It makes fishing and boating and outdoor fun along the South Jersey Shore somewhat of a lower tier priority, especially around Atlantic City and Absecon Island, where a recent report, which actually came out about 18 months ago, the Angelou report that Atlantic County spent the money on, this report, the Angelou report, said, you guys got to take advantage of your waterfront assets, you big dummies. I mean, you got to diversify your economy and not just rely purely on casino gaming and multi-million dollar waterfront homes. And as usual on the Shep on Fishing radio show, Robin Scott of Margate, she shares her thoughts on what's going on with flounder regulations. And some great guests came on, like Captain Bob Rush. He runs the family-owned and operated boats out of Sea Isle City. The Starfish, that big 70-footer, big catamaran, 128 passengers. He also has a brand new boat, the Susan Hudson, a 55-footer, handling 40 people for offshore fishing. Shep also had Captain Eddie Yates out of Barnegat Light on the show. Captain Eddie is in charge of the Hunter. That's out of Barnegat Light. And you can reach out to Eddie, Captain Eddie, at hunterlbi.com. Or you can talk to Mr. Bob Rush at the Starfish Fleet at starfishboats.com.
This is AC Primetime Radio.
The people that you should depend on for your livelihood, those that run the research boat, the Bigelow, if your livelihood is fishing and boating, you should be very concerned about those who control the boat Bigelow. Also, Captain Bob Rush from Sea Isle, he says that over the past 30 years, party boats have just about disappeared. At one time, 26 party boats in Cape May County. Now it's down to 9. In Margate, back in the 50s, there was like 500 rental boats along Amherst Avenue in Margate. Now it's down to about 20. The Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, he's the man that's going to make or break the 2017 summer flounder fishing season. Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? Maybe somebody should ask, yo, Congressman Lobiondo, Francesco Lobiondo. He's from Ventnor. He was deeply involved with dredging and sand dunes. He's the man. He's got some juice in Washington, right? Frank? Hello, Frank. Excuse me, Frank. I'd like to borrow a cup of sugar and also ask you, can you talk to Wilbur? All right, here we go. Here's some audio clips from the great Shep on Fishing radio show that unfortunately very few people get to hear every week because it's on at an ungodly hour on Saturday mornings. And that's why we are so proud here at FishJerseyShore.com and ACPrimetime.com and Down Beach Buzz and Brigantine Now to bring you, well, some clips from Shep on Fishing, helping out a little bit as we share this vital information.
Until Secretary Ross actually signs the piece of paper.
Yes.
Okay. He can stall it and he can have it sit on his desk for 6 months. If he has it sitting on his desk for 6 months, there is a possibility they might not find us out of compliance, or they might not push the option until he signs off on it, which could be next.
They have to prove us out of compliance.
They have to prove us out of compliance.
And that'll be a detriment.
Correct. And they have to prove that us fishing on 16 stocks, at 16 measures, rather, I'm sorry, during 17 is going to be bad for flounder fishing overall. Mm-hmm. So they have to prove that.
So there's that little cushion that we have.
Correct. And with everything that's going on, you know, with the Trump administration coming in, you know, one of the things that I liked about it, for every one law that you put on the books, you got to take two laws off. So
Mid-Atlantic slash.
So hopefully when he does the budget, we see NOAA and National Marine Fisheries Service get the big chopping block, hopefully.
Yep.
Got my fingers crossed, but we shall find out and see. So, and go from there. So anything's possible. We just don't know. We are in a situation that we've never been in before. We've never been down this road before. So there's a lot of moving parts to it. There's a lot of parts that are moving from, you know, DEP for New Jersey, moving from Marine Fisheries Council, the Bureau, industry, recreational people. All kinds of people are involved in this, and there's just so many moving parts, it's hard to say exactly where this is going to go.
You know what's so encouraging to me as a stakeholder, Mike?
What's up?
Bob is geared for the fight. The rest of us are all, like, beaten down. His eyebrows are arched. He's ready for battle. And it encourages me that there's somebody that recognizes this is the first time, at least in the history that I've been able to track, that we've done something like this, because obviously we didn't even know it was going on for years and years and years. Another question for you. This new stock assessment worries me to pieces, because where the heck are they going to pull a new stock assessment out of the hat? And why is it going to be any different from the bad information they've been gleaning all the way up to this point? What's going to happen
different? Yeah, they got
to
change.
They have to use a different type of dredge on the bottom. The people that they're getting their information from, which is the vessel Bigelow, is not the people that you want making your livelihood or my livelihood or the recreational fishermen's livelihoods. You know, as just coming out and doing sport. I mean, coming out on the weekend, everybody's livelihoods are in jeopardy with one dragger, and it's not the proper one to use. We have had before our commercial fishermen alongside of them, and they doubled their catch, tripled their catch, and they weren't even on the bottom correctly. You know, with the government research vessel that they were using.
Yeah, their net was upside down.
And exactly, and you know what, Mike? It goes back to.
I was just kidding about that.
It wasn't on the bottom correctly.
It wasn't
on the proper angle.
Yeah, I know.
It was bouncing and off the rocky bottoms.
Exactly correct. And this is what people's livelihoods are depending on, type of data. Yeah.
It's a joke.
And where I come back in with the Atlantic States and Mid-Atlantic to up-channel this to National Marine Fisheries Service and their unwillingness to do this, to every time National Marine Fisheries Service barks, these people just lie down and do what they say instead of doing what's right. And that's my problem as not only United Boatmen of New Jersey's president and representing the for-hire sector, but personally for my own business. You know, I have a lot of heartburn with them not up-channeling this to them. that they just keep getting beaten down by National Marine Fisheries Service.
Well, you just gave me a new word, up channel. Love that. Going to be here at quoted. And I have pillage and draconian. I picked those three up during this thing. But, you know, what you say is so accurate. We had a Back Bay trawl, also very similar. John Herron, you remember that? That's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
15 to 20 years ago. And the government vessel found no flounder in the Back Bay. Now, the Back Bay behind me is tiled with flounder, 16 inches. Went along, got nothing. John Herron went through and bailed flounder. You know, so we're relying on that. And it is absolutely frightening to me.
What is their method? Okay. They have some kind of mathematical system that they have a sample and then they multiply it by something or other. What's
it's
about?
Like going down a Brigada, rolling a dice on the craps table.
Yeah.
You take the dice, you roll it, we get, okay, we did one toe, so one toe we found five fish, so let's extrapolate that how many millions of times and say, that okay, there's how many millions of fish out there. So statistics is basically all it is, and is it, as I said, it's just like going down a Brigada and rolling the dice and taking your chances.
They keep using this term, this is the best
best science.
Best science that we have. They got the boatmen and all the people. They give them stats every day, every week, right? Mm. And then what else do they do? The American Little Society.
We have Bill Mendenhall.
And it's part of their, it's part of NOAA. I mean, they can't call NOAA up and say, give us your Little Society statistics. I mean, what? I don't get it.
I have Bill Mendenhall, John Shivo, James Tejada. I have customers that are in and out of my place all summer long. Bill Mendenhall is a retired math teacher. He has logged every single flounder and the size and the day and the tide and the weather.
So why wouldn't they use that?
From the 1940s at my place, before we even owned it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there you go. I can tell you what's going on behind Margate. And, you know, we're threatened with the idea that it's regionalization. Well, you have that same data at places like Larson's and what was Frank Jankowski's and all of those different places. But all of your small boat rental liveries and people that have slips, we know what's going on. Yeah. Tap us.
You know, speaking of history, you know, it's a shame that you know, I've been in the industry and a stakeholder for over 30 years, and over the past 30 years, it's just amazing how things have just disappeared, Mike. Things have just...
Like what?
Prime example, party boats. There used to be 26 party boats at one point in time in Cape May County.
Amazing.
26.
Remember they used to have the...
And now we're down to 9.
There were 500 rental boats along Amherst Avenue in the early 50s when we came.
Holy mackerel.
500.
And then we're down to about 20.
It was a fishing destination, and Mr. Gertzen made it so because he was a sport fisherman back in the late 1800s when he bought Lucy the Elephant. So he built the Fisherman's Hotel, and he had 100 fishing vessels. That established Margate.
Yeah.
Then they sold off the street ends. We don't even have public access.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Can we take a break right now, Maggie? Or okay, we'll come back. We'll come back with that thought. Okay, Bob. This is Shep talking fishing on air here on News Talk 1400 WOD.
Faith Shep with a question, and he'll tackle the answer. Call 609-927-1100.
Hi, Shep talking fishing on air back here on News Talk 1400 WOD.
I've been in the business since I was a kid. 13 years old, from going down a dock and working on the boats, cleaning decks, working way up. And unfortunately, I got suckered in, and I don't know if it was good or bad. I bought a party boat many years ago. still in the business. We have two boats. I had a third boat that is now not a fishing boat anymore. It is now a digital sign boat that runs up and down the beachfront because you can't just make it in the fishing industry anymore. Everybody's got to be creative. Everybody's got to do something different, whether it be from, you know, party cruises to dolphin watching, to whale watching, to doing, you know, anything that's possible with boats now on the water.
Anytime
that advertising boat goes past the end of vendor pier, I try to hit it. The sinkers wrapped around your prop.
Keep giving me sinkers.
You know, so I keep hoping somebody will run out, and I'll go, hey, you know, just me.
No, but at one point in time,
there's no problem.
At one point in time, you know, there was 26 party boats in Cape May County. 26. We're down to 9.
It is amazing.
Over the years. And then all the boat rentals that went along, and Sea Isle Owner.
Two of them are yours?
What? Boat rentals? The outboard?
9.
Party boats.
Two of the party boats are mine, yes. Two are yours. Yes.
So 7 others.
Correct.
Jim, correct. Jim Chiquetti, does he have one or does he have two?
He's got down there. He's got he has various stuff down there as well. He's got dinner cruises and pirate ships and whale watching and fishing trips and it's just you can't make it on fishing alone anymore. At one point in time, the boat did fishing during the daytime and the boat did fishing evenings 7 nights a week with blue fishing 7 nights a week and now. We don't see the bluefish in the summertime with all the cycle changes and stuff and pattern changes and everything. And it's just
changed. How many party boats are left in Atlantic County? If there's 9 in Cape May, which is a big,
in Atlantic County.
I know Eddie Collette's got a couple.
And Margate, I guess, has got what now, Robin?
One.
Margate's got, they went down to 0 now?
Captain Andy's was purchased for the 10th time. By someone who kicked the Teal out. Now, we had just worked an amazing relationship out with a party boat. First time in history that we've been able to have a marina. Because they wanted that slip for a private vessel. And the Teal Dow doesn't have a home, probably will go to Ocean City, which financially will be much better for them. But they're great people. I mean, the people that we couldn't rent to or wouldn't because either they were looking to do a lot of drinking and things like that, which is fine. As long as you have a captain that's got you roped and tied on the vessel, we can send them to the Teal. The anglers and the small families that wanted to be just with their group, they would send to us. And it was really a wonderful. Then we had Stacy's Paddle Shack, and we do kayaks. There's nothing that you can do on the water. And I do charters for the bay, and I can hook people up with Adam Nowalski with the Karen Ann. I mean, we can get anybody anywhere. But in that tiny little bayfront, there was nothing that people wanted to do that was legal on the water that we couldn't provide. And they blew that out of the water. It disgusted me.
When you're saying party boat, we're talking about like 40 passenger boat, not like this.
Anything that carries over six.
Over six people is a party
boat? Six people.
Okay.
Over wow. Six people is an inspected vessel at that point in time. So over six people, is a Coast Guard inspected vessel that is certified to carry passengers and stuff. A true party boat, though, is a
open boat
that runs a certain schedule every day of the week.
Right. Okay.
That is a true party
a charter
boat.
Slash open boat?
Yeah, open boat slash charter boat, the other way around, because a true head boat or true party boat did open boat schedule 7 days a week. If you show up to the dock at 8 o'clock in the morning, the boat sailed at 8 o'clock in the morning, and some of them did the half-day trips. Some of them do, the full-day trips and 6-hour trips, and so on and so forth. So
9 left in Cape May County. That's amazing.
9 left in Cape May County.
Are you counting the North Star? Because that's gone also.
I am not counting that one
now.
So
there's 8.
Correct. Well, there's still 9.
Okay.
So
that one's gone, as I understand.
All right. Boat rental docks, too. Mike.
I know.
Boat rental one docks, too. One
left on Absecon Island.
Disappeared. It's unbelievable. One left out of all that was there at one point in time.
Yeah.
And Sea Isle Owner, there was another, four or five more boat rentals in Sea Isle Owner where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're down to two now, I think, or three tops.
Well, as far as that business, people need to understand. They ask me, what happened to all the boat rentals? I said, it's not a profitable business.
Regulations.
And they look at me, and they go, well, I said, look, if this were an off-site plant that I had to support, I said, the only reason I'm able to afford to be a steward of this wonderful gift that I was given by my parents is because I live here. It is a stewardship. I do it because I love it. I have my bay that I wake up to every single morning. And guess what? I have this wonderful opportunity to send kids out there so they can discover the same thing that I did as a child.
To lose a lot of our youth,
I think so,
coming into the fisheries, and some of it's due to regulations, in my opinion. And when you take a child out and you show them that there's something else to do other than sit at home and play on a cell phone or video games, and they catch a fish, and they are so excited.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you have to tell them, well, can we keep it, Mommy? Nope, sorry, Captain Eddie threw it overboard. And then you get the boo-boo face and the tears and what have you. And on our side of this, though, I mean, we're trying to explain to them that they're young fish, even though they're not. And because we've gotten to a point now where the minimum size limits on all fisheries that we're fishing for is out of control and way.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. And we're actually doing more harm, in my opinion, than good with the mortality rates on some of these specific species. But there's very little interest now with fishing, which has come trickled down again to the party boats, the bait and tackle stores, and the boat rentals. I mean, the trickle down effect economy, you know, for the economy has just been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not just in this state, all you know, all over. It's you know, we've taken, I think, a little more hits than northern areas. And I say northern New York, Massachusetts. A lot of our folks are going up there with the little bit of shift in fisheries up there.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I mean, the interest in the young people isn't there anymore. They're more going out to trap fishing, freshwater fishing, because when you catch that fish, guess what? You can take them home and, mm-hmm. and eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and we've gotten away from that, and we've lost some of our fishermen to the freshwater industry. And I know we've lost a lot of fishermen to our southern states due to the split in the region.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you've heard me.
No doubt about it. I mean, we have a whopping 23-day black sea bass season this year for hire sector. I mean, and that's with a fishery that's rebuilt 243%.
Amazing.
It's just absolutely incredible how we've lost our fishing ability in this state.
I got a fast story for Mike real fast. I got a family that goes on a party boat every year with us, every July, right? Fishing in the summertime is always up and down a little bit inshore, you know, depending on where you're fishing at for flounder and stuff. So, got this guy that has this family that goes with us every year, every July. Hey, how come you keep going on this boat all the time? You don't ever catch anything. He says, you know what? He says, you're right. He says, I don't catch anything when we do go, but we have a good time. We keep coming back. That's the name of the game. It's a family outing for them. They have a great time. They have the kids out. They don't let them have cell phones on board the boat at that point in time, that one family.
Yeah.
They're focused on family entertainment, family fishing, and actually spending family quality time, which you don't see a lot of anymore.
We are conniving sons of a guns because I actually take the kids' $800 iPhones and store them in the store for them.
We put
them
in plastic bags. Overboard, right? Yeah.
Because that destroys the salt water, and mom and dad will be really mad at them. So you've got a family that hasn't looked at each other in the eyes. We laugh because you go out to dinner. And you think people are being particularly reverent before dinner. They're bowing their heads. You know, go, oh, look at them. They're saying grace. Now they're all looking at their cell phones. They haven't looked at each other in the eyeballs in years. And all of a sudden, they're stuck in about a 16-square-foot boat with a 15-horsepower engine. And they actually, we can hear them laughing all the way across the bay.
99.3% of fish 18 inches and above are females. Our mortality rate has went up because you're targeting bigger fish.
Sure.
So if it could be true, but I don't think it is. They're not looking in the right places.
Yeah.
And going back to what I said about the offshore dragging that's being done for, you know, the model that they're presenting is not the correct model. The model that was presented down in Baltimore by Craig Hewitt and Dr. Sullivan was really an outstanding model.
Yeah.
And once again, they just sit there and looked at it and shoved it off and didn't do anything with it as of yet. And that was an outstanding model.
Yeah,
and it was a lot of work.
But there's a lot of talk about that.
So absolutely.
At least they did that. They put it on the people's minds that it was something that they should take into
absolutely,
consideration.
Absolutely, Mike. I mean,
at some point.
They were amazed by that model that they presented to them. And they didn't have no idea that this recruitment of fish was this good. So the data is out there for them now. Now let's see what ASMFC and Mid-Atlantic are going to do with it.
Okay. Well, we need to – how do we make them do something? I mean, do we keep bugging? Say,
going back
how do we get to these – I'll tell you what I've done. I have found out phone numbers of people who are kind of in management positions at some of these organizations, like at NOAA.
That I believe would be a big help if we start bombarding not just our political folks, but our
that's
people
what I'm
that,
thinking. The next step up with these national people, organizations.
National Marine Fisheries, you just bombard them with phone calls.
I think that's key.
And sooner or later, they're going to get tired of hearing about it.
Yeah. Or maybe look at educating. Maybe they don't know everything.
We've tried to educate them. They're educated, believe me.
Oh, really?
May I make a comment here? Just a second, what you're saying here, Ed. In Alexandria at the beginning of February, I was so astounded that I could sit there and watch what was going on after Dr. Sullivan presented in Baltimore. So there were three very high-level people. In fact, the head of the National Marine Fisheries Service, and I was being naive at the time.
John Bowen, right.
Yeah, and I went to one of them. I said, you know, I feel really badly for the position that you are all in. You obviously have really high-level positions. You're highly educated. And you are charged, and my understanding is they are the enforcement agency for NOAA for all of these regs. I said, you are charged with enforcing fish sizes that you know the over 18s are prime breeding stock from 18 to 22 inches. Anything under that, 16 inches, males, you know, are going to be thrown back dead anyhow. It's going to annihilate the fishery. And, you know, you have to enforce regulations that are going to annihilate the fishery. And one of them, who shall remain nameless, looked at me and said, eh, we don't really care about the spawning stock.
That's amazing.
I was in mourning for months. I mean, I'm still in mourning about that.
I saw you down there.
Don't let me do that again. Yeah. I'm so naive. It's pathetic, you know?
It
was awful.
It's just astonishing how, you know, what you can learn when you go to these. And it is open to the public. These hearings in different places, and they are far away, and it is inconvenient.
And they're not friendly to you, so don't be daunted. They do not like to see you show up because they know you're going to speak.
Absolutely. They don't like to see the public show up them, unlike our ones here in the state, which we have in Galloway Township, which we greet our folks and fishermen with open arms. We want you to talk.
Right here.
You know, at the state council. But when you get into the ASMFC in Mid-Atlantic or their joint meetings, they don't want to see a ton of the people in there, believe me.
Nope.
They really don't, especially on the for-hire side and the recreational side. And there's some commercial people, too. And going back to Fluke, the commercial people are taking a hit on this also. So it's not just the recreational fishermen. So you can't say, well, the commercial got... It's not the commercial guys.
Some people think it is.
Yeah, I know. And we have to get out of that mentality because it is not.
CBS is going to be status quo 2017 as it was in 2016, with just a little bit of different caveats. And instead of a 13-inch fish in the fall, it's going to go back down to a 12.5-inch fish. So the season is pretty much going to mirror what it was last year. In the beginning of the season, there's a little bit of a difference. It's going to open up May 26th for the first segment of it, 10 fish. 12.5 inch size limit from May 26th to June 18th, which is Father's Day weekend. And then it goes down to a 2-fish bag limit July and August.
Wow.
Closes again August 31st. And, of course, it stays closed during the prime sea bass fishing time, September and October, and does not reopen again until October 22nd.
Sea bass are important to you, right?
Sea bass are important to a lot of boats still that do bottom fishing. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a shame. Robin?
I was going to say sea bass are important to everybody. We get keepers in the bay now. Go figure that. A kid hauls in a, you know, 12.5-inch sea bass. That's a lot of nice eating. Also, maybe it makes flounder less significant because you can't get to the flounder through the amazing numbers of sea bass that we have, which are kind of ridiculous that these regs are being put into place.
Well, I'll say something real fast here. I know the time's a little bit limited. Sea bass, by the federal government's own classification, they said there's 240% more sea bass by their own stock assessment, but we still got to take a 40% reduction.
Sun, fun, news and info from Atlantic City. This is AC Primetime Radio with Mel Taylor. Find us online at acprimetime.com.